The readings from Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 20. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is God's word.
Thank you, John. Gotwai dai hing zimoi, jo san, fun ying leide. I apologise to those of you that didn't understand that. That was my terrible Cantonese, not practiced very much recently. And I hope it said, welcome to you all, brothers and sisters, in the Christian use of the word brothers and sisters. I want to talk today about what happened at the baptism and what baptism symbolises. And I've used the title Transferred and Transformed. But I actually want to start by sharing something that is very significant to me personally, and to Lucy as well, actually, and that relates to the fact that, with apologies, Wan Yu, you have some similar roots to a place that we lived and loved. We lived in Hong Kong for 8 years and loved it. And I want to ask you if you've ever been anywhere where history was being made. And we have, in the sense that we lived in Hong Kong from 1990 to 1998. And of course, it's quite a coincidence that this is the 21st anniversary of Hong Kong moving from being a British colony to being back under the sovereignty of China. Now, I am not commenting at all politically as to whether this was a move in a good direction or a bad direction, whether colonies are ever justified or what sovereignty means at a political level. But I actually, as I thought about the service today and as I thought about what baptism means, I thought if I started by sharing something of the memories that Lucy and I had of that time, it might give us an insight into what I think baptism represents, which is regime change, a change of sovereignty. It was Lucy and I lived there, went there in 1990. We were back in UK 1994, but went back again in 95, and we were through the handover period when Hong Kong transferred. You know, Prince of Wales went out, and I think I've got a, here's a picture, very small one, but this is the Prince of Wales shaking hands with the, I've forgotten his name, Jiamin, wasn't it? President Jiamin, I think it was, of China. And it was a very, very dramatic time. I cannot imagine what it must be like for, say, your mother, who's always lived there, to be a Chinese Hong Kong resident and to go through that change. It must have been a real, real tension, I guess. I was there as an expat, as a foreigner, and it was really fascinating. We had come to love being in Hong Kong. And the emotions you went through at that time were really complicated. But it was a very, very, very dramatic occasion. It rained. Now, I say that, but boy, did it rain. It was 4 days of solid monsoon rain. And Hong Kong rain really comes down. Now, this is not the theological bit, but a lot of our expat British friends, taking a British insight into weather, said, oh, the gods must be crying that Hong Kong is going back to China and losing the wonderful blessings of British rule. Okay, that was one way of looking at it. Our Chinese friends said, look, the gods are celebrating and blessing us with wonderful rain, which, of course, in a Hong Kong context was good, not bad. And so the gods must be grateful. Well, we know one God, and that God caused it to rain for 4 days solid throughout the monsoon time. I remember the evening, we went on the evening to a big gathering. Mostly it was expats, a party, and there were people celebrating this event. And by mid-evening, we just felt so out of kilter. Lucy and I and another couple we got to know very well, we went back and watched on the television as quite remarkable things happened on that ceremony. And we sat quietly wondering what this regime change was all about. The British flag came down the flagpole. And the Chinese flag went up the flagpole. And nothing changed. And yet everything changed. Because the sovereignty had moved from one party to another. From one sovereign to another sovereign state. It was a very, very strange time to be there. And you realised afterwards, we had some friends who, 2 or 3 days later, have things changed? And the answer was no, they hadn't. But yes, they had. And I'm sure things have continued to change. I was talking just now to One Yu's mum, and she's just got back from Hong Kong, and she was saying, well, for a start, it's so much more crowded. I think there's probably 2 million more residents of Hong Kong now than there were when we left in 1998, the end of 98. And Hong Kong was pretty crowded in 1998. So remarkable. But regime change had happened. Hong Kong had moved, and it's actually the anniversary today. It had moved from British sovereignty to Chinese sovereignty. I do remember, actually, on the actual morning, we got a phone call. And someone said, it was the afternoon, and we got the phone call, but it was morning UK time. And they said, "Oh, no, are you all right?" So we said, "Well, what do you mean?" They said, "We've heard that the tanks have rolled over the border." And I thought, "What are you talking about?" And then we looked on the news. And of course, early in the morning, the Chinese tanks had moved in to take over the garrisons that were there, which the British troops had just left. And of course, they had to come early in the morning because they had to use the same roads as everyone else. And they had to get there before the traffic built up. So yes, of course. But of course, the British press made a big thing about this in a completely the wrong way. Regime change, quite remarkable. What does it mean? I think baptism represents a personal regime change. It's a picture, because what had happened to one year and what's happened to anyone that's been baptized happens before they go through the water. That's when that person decides to follow Jesus Christ. But this is almost like a picture of the flag going down and the flag coming up. And that's what I want us to look at from the verses that John read to us. Let me just read again this section from the middle. "Give joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This regime change is about being rescued and brought into. We're rescued from darkness and brought into light. We're rescued from slavery and brought into freedom. We're rescued from condemnation and brought into forgiveness. We're rescued from the realm of darkness and brought into God's kingdom. Rescued from darkness and brought into the light. My grandchildren stayed with us for a couple of days, the last couple of nights, in fact. And at night time, it's strange. We always turn the lights out, usually, but they like to have a light on the landing because children, especially in a strange place, are scared unless they have light and they can see what's going on. Similar picture perhaps might be if you've ever done an overnight walk. And as you walk through the dark, it's quite eerie, it's quite different. I know we had some ladies do a sponsored walk just recently. But as day breaks, suddenly the light comes through. And it's a picture that we can all understand. And the scriptures tell us that God has rescued us from darkness and brought us into his light. Living in the light of life, the love, the joy, the freedom of Jesus, which can replace our fears and our doubts. And baptism reminds us that already, if you like, one year by becoming a child of God has moved from darkness to light. There's a word used in the passage. It says that we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed, rescued from slavery and brought into freedom. I remember, I think I've told this story before, as a very naughty 9-year-old with some friends round at my house, I remember my sister was being a bit irritating. And so we tied her, as one does, to a tree and left her tied to this tree. And then, unfortunately, we forgot about her. And I think about half an hour later, my mother was absolutely furious with me because she said that she'd gone and found that I'd not only tied my little sister to the tree, but then I'd gone off cycling with my friends, leaving her tied to the tree. And she was sobbing, apparently, that she didn't want to be a fuming sacrifice, which is what she'd heard me say that was going to take place. When Mum undid her, she was freed. Well, in a much more serious way, all of us who are living as human beings on this earth, by default, we live tied to our own behaviors, our own ways that are not God's ways. And that brings us into the slavery of habits, of sin, that keeps us held down. And this picture of baptism is a picture, again, of being rescued from slavery and brought through into redemption, into freedom. And that's one of the wonderful promises, that each one of us is freed now, set free to be the best that God wants us to be. And that's a promise for 1 year too. The next one is we're rescued from condemnation for our sins, from judgment, and brought to forgiveness. We deserve as outlaws to be punished for the way that we have gone our own way, the way that we have sinned. But God's love is so great for us that he sent the Lord Jesus, who sacrificed himself for us, that whoever calls on his name, whoever believes in him, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Rosemary led us earlier as we confessed our sins. And the promise is this, that anyone who comes to Jesus Christ, anyone who comes, can have a completely clean slate, a loving restart. God's love is shown to us through the sacrifice of King Jesus. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, as we think about regime change, we've been rescued from the dominion, the power of darkness, and brought into the kingdom, the authority of his dear Son. And so again, this journey through the water, if you like, is a reminder that now our citizenship is in heaven. We are belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have gone into his kingdom. And indeed, we are royal sons and daughters of the living God if we have accepted his invitation. The passage talks about God's amazing rescue. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And it tells us that God has qualified us. Now, if you think about a qualification, it's evidence of a right. It's evidence of a right. And when you, not because she was baptized, but because she trusted the Lord Jesus and obeyed him, she is qualified to be in God's kingdom. I am qualified to be in God's kingdom, not because I'm a pastor, but because I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my salvation. What about your name? What about your name? God would love to qualify you to be an inheritor of all the blessings he wants to bring to you. Can you put your name there? Can you see that you've been rescued? In the first part of the service, I talked about Meghan Markle learning to be a royal. And one of the other things I want to say to one you is, there's no way that going through baptism will mean that tomorrow or the next day, you will be perfect. None of us are. We learn. All of us are on a journey learning how to live as God's royal children. But the command and the encouragement is to us. Let's live a life worthy of this wonderful God who has given his Son for us. Let's live by his great power. Let's be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son he loves. And let's be transformed to live in his power. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And that's what we're called to do. Baptism represents, if you like, the individual flags of people saying, no, it's no longer me trying to take control. I'm going to let God be in control of my life through what Jesus has done. There's nothing we can do to qualify ourselves. It's God who offers us salvation through what Jesus did for us. But he says to us, then live a life worthy of your Lord. And so today, we joyfully give thanks for all that God has done for us. And we can commit ourselves again, not just one you, but each one of us who has been baptized, to live a life worthy of the Lord, to follow him, to say to him, thank you for all that you have done to rescue us. Shall we pray? And then the group will come and lead us in music. Let's pray. Let's just take a moment in silence to consider the rescue that has been offered to us and the new life, the transfer and the transform that God is working in us through King Jesus. We've prayed and we'll continue to pray for one year. But I also want to pray now for anyone here for whom actually what one year has done today is a bit of a mystery. Or anyone here who knows that they haven't yet moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's Son. That invitation is there. Anyone can come. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be rescued. If you want to transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son God loves, join me in this prayer. Father God, thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, so that there is now no longer judgment or condemnation, but that if we trust you, if we call you Lord and believe that you were raised from the dead, then we will be rescued. We will be forgiven. We will be redeemed and set free. Lord, we want to accept all that you have done for us. Thank you for making it possible for us to be royal sons and daughters of the living God. And may each one of us live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all we do. We pray this now in the name of our lovely Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.